The Scenic Drive with Rion.
Started talking about organs and things you can transplant and not. I was quite schooled because I thought it's a pancreas, but you want to say the baarmoeder, brain, a few things you can't transplant. But lungs you can transplant. And sitting in front of me now is a survivor of not one, but twice. Two lung transplants, double lung transplants. She received a new set of lungs, well, basically probably three times. Eh? You were born with a set and then two times after that. And honest, Alice Vocht, and she's with us tonight. And it's actually a miracle that she's sitting right here tonight. Nice to meet you, Alice.
Thank you.
Okay, now, she came in here on crutches. What happened to you?
I was utilizing the new lungs and playing a game of squash when suddenly it felt like my opponent had run into me and kicked me, but in fact my Achilles tendon snapped, and unfortunately I had to have surgery to have that repaired.
So surgery is not a new thing for you?
No, this was very minor.
Yes. Like, think about it. So people would think this is very serious, Achilles heel, but double lung transplant.
Sure.
Okay, so first question, is there a long list for double lung transplants in South Africa? Because, I mean, I would think you're quite lucky that you get a double lung transplant and then a few years later another one.
Yes, so there is quite a list. What's also helping is since December last year, Cape Town has also opened a lung transplant center. So where previously Johannesburg was the only place in the country where you could get a lung transplant, it's now available to Capetonians, and it's also the first time they're doing it at a state hospital. So even if you don't have medical aid, previously, you know, you could only have a lung transplant if you were on medical aid, but now it's also an option for people if they can go to Cape Town to get it. So the list has definitely increased as well due to this. You know, there's more. And then also, I think as awareness grows that lung transplants are possible, the waiting list increases. Because, I mean, 10 years ago, after my first transplant, you know, you would say to someone, you've had a lung transplant, and even medical people like GPs or, you know, nurses, they would be like, what is that even possible, you know? Whereas now I find that a little bit less. So I think as people get educated and they know it's an option, they get referred to the right doctors and they get put on the waiting list, which is a good thing.
Okay, so to me, always when I speak to transplant patients, it's an odd thing to me. I always try to get my mind around it, that inside your body is someone else's lungs. It's now two people.
I know.
The first time when you woke up and you were breathing, well, let's put it like this, the first time you were breathing on your own, is that something you're conscious of every time you breathe? You go, this is someone else's lungs?
To a degree, yes, definitely. Not so much if you're sitting still and, you know, you're watching TV and you kind of get into what you're watching and, you know, you don't consciously think about breathing, which is what it should be. You know, when you're on the waiting list for lungs, you never get that moment where you're not thinking about breathing because it's so hard. But now, especially when I'm able to walk, when I'm able to exercise, when I'm able to snap my Achilles tendon, you know, every time something like that happens, it's definitely a presence of my donor that it feels like she's there. You know, just in the sense that, you know, someone made this possible.
So, and
in fact,
she.
Two people.
It's a she.
Well, I'm kind of assuming it's a she because I'm quite small and size is a very big factor when it comes to lung transplants.
All right. So, in your case, cystic fibrosis.
Yes.
And you were born with this?
Yes, it's a genetic disease. So, you're born with it, and I was diagnosed at age 2.
And it became worse and worse and worse over the years.
Yes, it did. Especially after, I would say, about age 17, it went quite quickly.
Okay. So, people are going, please explain to us, what is cystic fibrosis?
So, it affects mainly the lungs and pancreas. The pancreas, I feel, is a lot more controllable, so I need to take insulin because my pancreas is just not working that well anymore, and I also need to take enzymes when I eat. But that's something that you can, you know, manage. Whereas the lungs, the body produces very thick mucus, which causes lung infections, and the infections cause scarring. So in the end, you've got a vicious cycle of antibiotic resistance and infections and lung scarring. And eventually you start coughing up blood. So, you know, it's a It's a situation where at some point your lungs just cannot function anymore.
Okay, so at this point in time now what? What is helping you to breathe?
You've got supplemental oxygen.
So
and
you walk around with oxygen everywhere.
And that's
go.
Pretty much all you've got. And I mean, apart from that, it's a full-time job because you need to do nebulized medications twice a day or three times a day. If you're having a really bad time, maybe six times a day. And it's not even just one medication. It's something to open your lungs up first. Then it's an antibiotic. Then it's, you know, something to thin the mucus. So it's a whole procedure. And then you have to get physio and you have to take your pills. And somewhere in between, you have to sleep a little bit to recover from all of this. And then you still have to have a life. So very, very tiring.
What a way to grow up.
Yes. Look, it gradually gets worse. And you go through stages where you're doing a little bit better and other stages where you're doing worse. So it is little bits of ups and downs, and I wouldn't say my whole childhood was suffering, because it wasn't. I really had some amazing times, but I would say the last 2 years before my lung transplant was really terrible.
Okay, so at what age did you get that first set of lungs?
23.
And tell me, after you received it, how your life changed?
I always tell people that it wasn't a second chance in life. It was actually my first chance, because for the first time in my life, I could breathe normally. You know, when I woke up in ICU, one of the first things I noticed was how quiet my breathing was. You know, there wasn't that crackling. And because previously when you lay on your back, it sounded like someone scrunching a plastic bag. You know, because of little crackles in my lungs, mucus moving around. So suddenly it was quiet, and I'm like, this is weird. You're always thinking, am I dead? And you're like, no, I'm not dead. So it's unbelievable. And then you start, you know, recovering, and your body starts recovering, and you start being able to do exercise, and suddenly you've got a lot more energy, because your body's not fighting infection 24/7. You've got all this extra time, because you're not nebulizing the whole time, you're not doing physio. It's just a complete, I could start working full-time for the first time in my life.
The Scenic Drive with Rion.